Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Oh, you can see that it's lit already at the MGM National Harbor and the BetMGM Sportsbook. It's time for everyone's favorite hour of the week. The Mad Scientist is rolling again on C2C. Warren Sharp joins us every week. Fans clamor for it, and they get their wish. Here he is, ready for a Thursday night in the B-Law with the sloppy Bills. And suddenly, their psychotic quarterback, who's now talking about lowering his heart rate, and his girlfriend has left him, apparently, is what they told me today. He's got all kinds of problems, let alone the three crappy games he's rolled out in a row. Taking on the Buccaneers tonight, Warren, what do you think of this game?
I didn't realize all the extracurricular factors going on here. I didn't handicap the girlfriend leaving and the heart rate issues. So I'm going to have to go back and work up some more calculus equations to figure out how I should account for that in the spread. But all I could say is that the Bills' defense is where I would start. This defense is ranking 26th with all of their losses. I mean, they're down so many different starters now. And certainly Mac Jones had his best game of the year, took full advantage of it. They were able to throw the ball a little bit more to Ramondre Stevenson out of the backfield. A lot of higher efficiency passes, higher completion rate from Mac Jones. Still have some breakaway catches in the secondary. And the other side of the ball, just trying to suffocate Josh Allen. Just try to frustrate him to some extent. This offense does not look like it did in prior years. And part of that, in my opinion, relates to their head coach, Sean McDermott, wanting to try to keep that offense on the field, run the football a little bit more, try to keep his defense rested on the sidelines now that he is in full command of that defense. And we talked about it on the show last week as a concern moving into this week, and it certainly reared its head in the game against New England Patriots. Now they're going up against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in prime time. The money is coming in on the Buffalo Bills. The odds are shifting in their favor. And they should be able to dispatch of Baker Mayfield, who is questionable entering this game. They're favored by 9 points. Baker is going to end up playing. But you can never really count Buffalo right now as like a surefire thing just because of what's going on there with that coaching staff, in my opinion, and then the health of the players. It certainly does not seem like this team is buttoned up, ready to come out and execute to their full capacity against the Tampa Bay unit. That being said, I mean, I would normally think that Todd Bowles and this Tampa Bay unit is the one that has the coaching disadvantage because they typically do in most of their games. They have poor strategies. They try to run the football too much. But I was reading an article earlier today that was talking about new strategies that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers want to begin to implement in this game. They talked about the fact that they want to run the football, but they realize that if they can't run the football, they need to have their prior utmost focus on just trying to win the game by any means necessary. And if it means throwing the football a ton, that's what they're going to go ahead and do. They saw Mac Jones have a lot of success in doing that last week. Last week, Tampa Bay themselves used a lot of Rashard White out of the backfield. He's been a terrible rusher of the football this season, but he caught all 6 targets in the pass game last week, and I think he's going to have some success through the air in this game with Baker Mayfield having a lot of quicker dropbacks and trying to pass the ball more and maybe lowering their overall run rate. So I think it's going to be a fascinating game, one which the Buffalo Bills should win, and I know a lot of guys were teasing them down. I don't think that's necessarily a bad bet, but there's a lot of question marks on both sides of the ball for both of these teams.
We welcome our radio affiliate, SiriusXM, channel 159. That's 159 all over the Southern Hemisphere and Sports Byline, all of their radio affiliates out of San Francisco. So I got to ask you, you've seen the Buccaneers 2 weeks in a row look terrible at home. And then the Bills, two of the last 3 weeks have looked, I think all 3 weeks they look terrible. They won the Giants game 14-9. But both of these teams have been playing really bad football. Let's just face facts. I thought that game that the Bills played against the Pats was disgusting. They come back and take the lead, get a two-point conversion, and then they kick off and let them go 75 yards in, what, six or seven plays and score a touchdown? They couldn't stop them to at least kick a field goal and go to overtime. I don't know what's more disgusting, watching them play or watching Tampa play lately, where they've scored 19 points in 2 weeks.
Well, look, you can't get much worse than what New England looked like in the prior several games before they headed into this game against the Buffalo Bills last week. They were a team that 2 weeks ago, I was on the Patriots catching the three out in Las Vegas against the Raiders after the Patriots looked like garbage for the prior couple games, could not score points whatsoever. They lost the cover for me on a safety in the final seconds of that game to lose by 4 points instead of just two. And then they go into Buffalo and they win the game outright. Sorry, the game was in New England, but they win the game outright against the Buffalo Bills, and their offense looks like it hasn't looked in weeks, in a month at least, maybe all season, to be honest with you, Scott. So I thought that this Buffalo Bills defense, without, when they don't have Matt Milano, Daquan Jones, and Tre'Davious White on the field, they are averaging 5.6 yards per play allowed. That's 24th in the NFL. They're literally a bottom 10 defense without those guys on different levels of their defense, and they're going to be without them again, obviously. So Tampa hasn't looked great either. I was on the Falcons in teasers last week. I was expecting them to play a tight game. And, you know, quite honestly, the Falcons should have won that game by a lot larger margin had they not lost a fumble on the 1-inch line, the 1-yard line, and the 11-yard line. They would have scored a lot more than the point total they did into the 30s and won that game pretty easily in Tampa. I think that this Bucs team is going to have to come in here, because the interesting thing about the Buffalo Bills, you know, earlier in the year, I was trying to fade some of the running backs going up against Buffalo, but those running backs always would have at least one run where they would break it on this Buffalo Bills defense. And as it turns out, Buffalo, now that we're halfway through the season, we know that this defense, while they're great at yards before contact, they're the league's worst defense at yards after the contact, allowing close to 4 yards per rush after contact. And so historically, I've been taking Rashard White under his longest rushing attempt. That's up to 13 and a half in this game, Scott. But I did not bet Rashard White's longest rushing attempt under 13 and a half, although I still think that's probably a good bet. Instead, I opted to bet his rush attempts under and his total rushing yards under, because I just do not believe that they're going to sit back and hand the ball off to Rashard White quite as frequently now that I've heard from their head coach, Todd Bowles, from their offense coordinator, Dave Canales, as well as from Baker Mayfield himself and their left tackle, that they might be looking to pass the ball more in this spot. I think the opportunities are to go over in some of the Baker Mayfield props and or Rashard White's receiving prop, as opposed to focusing on them being able to get anything done on the ground whatsoever against the Buffalo Bills here, especially when you factor in game script. They're a 9-point underdog on the road.
I got to tell you, I'm just being honest. I watched them play in all three games, the Bills, and I was like, where is their vaunted pass rush? They got Von Miller back, and he's supposed to be the end-all to sacking quarterbacks. Ever since he's come back from his injury, he hasn't done a thing. I'm waiting for him to break out. When we come back, and we'll see if they can do it tonight. They have not impressed me at all. The Bills are going to the Super Bowl, this other nonsense. We'll talk about the Packers issues and a battle of rookie quarterbacks with Houston and Carolina. We got Warren Sharp on C2C.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Honestly, if you're not on at Sharp Football on X, there's got to be something wrong with you. I start questioning people. Like, what are you doing over here? Can you just get with the program and just follow Warren at Sharp Football? You're good. SharpFootballAnalysis.com. You haven't gone to his website? I mean, where are your priorities, honestly, as a human being? I mean, there's family, wife, kids, grandma. These things don't matter. Football matters. Understand that. It's a 7-month deal. You could deal with your family the other 5 months. Honest, I don't have time for anything during football season. I really don't. All I do is talk to Warren every week, and then I have a gambling problem. That's it. And the family knows to stay away from me. All right, Warren, the Packers game scripting issues. Take me away.
I wish I could take away the coaching staff, the game scripting, and help the Green Bay Packers out a little bit here, because this has been a problem all season long, and it was a massive problem last week. If they had done a little bit of scouting against the defense that they were about to face in the Denver Broncos, they would have seen that the Denver Broncos rank 31st against explosive passes. Passes 15 plus yards down the field, they are terrible defending those. They also rank 31st against play action. And what are two things that the Green Bay Packers utilized a lot of on the season to date? A lot of explosive passing. Jordan Love had the highest yards per attempt in terms of his distance down the field, air yards per attempt at 9.9 on the season entering the game. It was like a perfect marriage, lined up perfectly to attack a weakness of the defense of the Denver Broncos. And they also used a lot of play action. Again, Denver's terrible against play action, so utilize it a lot. What do? They come in, and in the first half of the game, instead of throwing it down the field to attack the weakness like they've been doing all season long, off of a bye, 14 days rest, they decided to change everything up, and all they do is throw it underneath. There was only one pass attempt, Scott, one, that traveled more than 4 yards down the field from Jordan Love in the entire first half. He averaged 2.4 air yards per attempt in the first half of this game, and they utilized play action at a lower rate than they did previously on the season. What was the result? Well, the result was pretty terrible. They scored 0 first half points in the game against the Denver Broncos. We're fighting from behind the entire second half. That's when they opened up the offense. That's when they started throwing the ball down the field more. That's when they started utilizing a bit more play action. And guess what? They were able to score some points when they did that. But why didn't they come out the gate doing that? And so it gives me a lot of questions about what is Matt LaFleur doing here with the Packers. And I go back and look at this, some of these stats, and it tells me that he should know that he needs to be aggressive early on in games, because look at this. When he has a lead at halftime, since he's been the offensive coach, head coach in Green Bay, they are 34-6. When they are trailing at the half, they are 11-18. So they do much better when they're leading at the half. They need to come out, though, in those first 15 plays and try to aggressively build a lead. His game scripting this year is bottom five in the NFL. Whether you look at first 15 plays and look at his EPA per play, his success rate per play, or you look at, let's say, his first 15, first 15 plays over the course of his first 3 drives of the game, which are averaging about 5 plays per drive. He's bottom five in everything there. Points per drive, the amount of punts per drive. They just need to figure out a way to attack opponents weaknesses. And one key element for this team, they need to get that explosiveness in there. When they do not have a single gain on a drive that's at least 20 plus yards, they average fewer than 1 point scored per drive. But when they have even one play of at least 20 yards on a drive, they're over 4.5 points per drive. It's a night and day difference. They have to figure out how to get more explosive. The answer is not scaling back Jordan Love and throwing the ball short underneath. There's no way that this offense is going to matriculate the ball down the field, converting third down after third down and be able to score touchdowns. They've got to aim and hunt for some of these explosives, and they've got to be far more aggressive in their early play calling to try to build a lead at halftime, because they've had so much more success historically under Matt LaFleur when they do that. So there's a lot to clean up here. They've got a little time to do that because they're going up against the Minnesota Vikings, a team that just upset the San Francisco 49ers. They get the game in Green Bay. It's going to be cold. Dome team Minnesota has to go on the road in the cold and deal with the elements. This is a perfect opportunity to come out the gate strong. But if they fall behind early, I mean, it's going to be hard to come back in this one, in my opinion.
His last throw on Sunday in Denver was he went deep and it was picked off. It was terrible. It was an awful throw. They disgust me. Watching that team in Denver was enough to make me vomit all over myself. Honestly, I bet on them, and I honestly got sick watching that guy play. I really did. I was so angry. I can't even tell you. I don't even want to talk about it anymore. I have to move on. I can't even take it. Houston and Carolina in Charlotte. Flat out, for me, Stroud's better than Young 6 ways till Sunday.
Well, there's no doubt he is. He's played like it, and he's still got the chip on his shoulder, because I've seen some of this guy's interviews, and all offseason he was upset that he wasn't the guy. He didn't say it like on record this directly, but he wanted to be that first overall pick. And because he's not, and now he's going up against a team that was that had the first overall pick and chose Bryce Young instead, I think he's going to take this game personally. Now, we've got a betting angle on this game that I'm going to showcase in the next segment, so look forward to that. But in this game, the fun element of it is you got the number one and the number two quarterbacks going up against one another. They are off of a bye. Each of them are off of a bye at the exact same time. And I expect a lot from the C.J. Stroud-led offense here, and mainly because Carolina Panthers cannot get pressure on opposing quarterbacks. And C.J. Stroud has the biggest splits in the NFL when he's pressured versus when he's not pressured. When C.J. Stroud is kept clean, he is number two in EPA per attempt, number three in yards per attempt, and has a 9-to-1 touchdown to interception ratio. But when he is pressured, he's down to number 27 in yards per attempt, number 30 in EPA per attempt, and has not thrown a single touchdown. Guess what? The Carolina Panthers are the NFL's worst team at getting pressure on opposing quarterbacks. So C.J. Stroud should be able to come out of the bye with Bobby Slowick working on some things, and they're going to look a little bit different, and they're going to look a little bit more efficient against a defense that can't get pressure. On the other side of the ball, though, I'm excited to see what Bryce Young does, because they've got a new offensive coordinator, Thomas Davis. Thomas Brown. Thomas Davis, obviously a legendary Carolina Panthers player, but Thomas Brown is their offensive coordinator now. Takes over for Frank Reich. Thomas Brown is from the Sean McVay school of offense. He learned under Sean McVay for several years as a position coach, and I think he's taken a lot of that and is going to be utilizing it this game against the Houston Texans defense. They're going to be going faster. They're going to be more aggressive. They're going to be utilizing more personnel groupings and attacking weaknesses. I think it's going to be fun to watch Bryce Young in this spot with a new coordinator who's going to be looking to attack weaknesses of the defense a little bit more directly than what Frank Reich was doing. So I think this is going to be a fun game. It doesn't sound sexy on the surface, two teams that aren't really doing much this season, but I can't wait to watch these two quarterbacks square off against one another.
I think Houston's been pretty impressive. Being 3-3 isn't the point. I think they've actually played good football just about every week. And I think I have seen nothing of this Brown offense that you're talking about. So I can't wait to see that break out, because when you're 0-6, nothing's working. Your offense has not worked. They've been terrible. That's all there is to it. All right. Tell me about Geno against the Browns defense at Lumen.
Yeah, this game just comes down to, this is not a good matchup for Geno Smith. The Cleveland Browns play the number one highest rate of man coverage. Geno has massive splits. He's terrible against man. He's excellent against zone. He's getting pressured a ton. Fortunately for him, on the other side of the ball, one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL in recent memory, P.J. Walker, he can barely even complete 50% of his passes over the last couple of weeks, going up against a very tough defense of the Seattle Seahawks here. I think both of these quarterbacks are going to really, really struggle on Sunday out in Seattle.
Wow, I can't wait to see it. I mean, this Cleveland defense, they mean business. That's all I know. And their quarterback hasn't been playing, and the backup's been, I think, way better than him to begin with. When we come back, we got a lot going on, including Warren Sharp.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
New Jungle. This is The Lion's Share. Brought to you by BetMGM.
It's smarter to be on SportsGrid. Sports Grid app. It's free on iOS or Play Store for Android. You're going to love it. You can follow your favorite hosts like Warren Sharp and me, Scott Farrell. Get all of our clips, and you get videos on there, stats, analytics, news, highlights. How about this? Odds, in-game odds. It's all there. You can watch the network. You can listen to the network. The app's phenomenal. And make sure you check out BetMGM's new $1,500 first bet offer for new users. Use the code SG1500 for all new users of the app. So you want to get the app, you download it on iOS or Android, or visit BetMGM.com. Sign up, deposit into your account at least $10. Get rolling. You can make bets. Let's say you make a bet for $1,000. You lose the bet. You're like, drag. When the wager's settled, they're going to put $1,000 in your account. You can bet up to $1,500. You lose, they're giving you $1,500 back in bonus bets. That's beautiful. Go to BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. We got Warren Sharp at the National Harbor rolling on a Thursday per usual, and it's time for Warren's props. He's got props for Thursday night's game in the B-low, and he's got Sunday props. Let's start with the game in Buffalo tonight. What props are you going with?
So I alluded to this earlier. I like the fact that we're going to be going with this scripting for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, where Baker Mayfield came out and he said, quote, we're kind of learning that we're not going to be a run-first team. Well, if that ends up being the case, I do not think that there's any way in a shared backfield that Rashad White is going to hit his rushing yardage prop. So I think Rashad White goes under 46.5 rushing yards. You could get that over at BetMGM right now for minus 140. I think Rashad White's going to struggle. Like I said before, I have been betting Rashad White for weeks under his longest rushing attempt. I am still probably going to put a little of my own money on that, but I'm less confident in that one simply because Buffalo has been gashed by runs in the past this season, random runs that have gained 20-plus yards from a particular back, but they are good on a consistent basis. They're just letting one slip through the cracks, so I'd rather take his total yards under rather than his longest. I also think he's going to be catching some passes out of the backfield, so I'm looking at Baker Mayfield's passing yardage prop. Now, this is a scary prop, especially with Mayfield popping up on the injury report, but I'm looking to put a little bit, not a lot, but a little bit on Baker Mayfield to exceed his passing yardage total that the books have set for him tonight at 228.5 yards, minus 115 over at BetMGM. In addition, I also like this one. You could put a little bit on. This is kind of stacking. It's the same concept. What I like doing when I'm betting props is to bet a storyline. If this happens, then what else is more likely to happen? And if you're wrong, you're probably going to be wrong on everything, so you don't go too strong on this. But if you're right, there's a very good chance that you're right on a lot of these, even if one of them gets unlucky. And I think Mayfield's passing yards over. I also think Rashard White's receiving yards over. When I look at some of the other backs that they've gone up against, Ramondre Stevenson, 6 for 6, 8.5 yards per catch and 51 yards last week. You had Travis Etienne a couple of weeks ago. He averaged 12 yards per catch. Achane and Mostert had a high yardage as well. Once they lost these guys in the defense, they've been allowing receptions to backs. But rather than betting over 3.5 at plus money, though, from a reception prop, since they're averaging 8.5 yards per catch on the season, and it's gotten worse as of late, I think you go over Rashad White's receiving yardage prop, which is 21.5, 22.5. I like that a little bit better.
Sweet. So you got his receiving yards over and his rushing yards under for White of the Buccaneers. All right, let's go to Sunday. You had alluded to the fact that you had a prop for the Houston Carolina game. What is it?
I like the over in this game. Right now it's 43.5. My advice is wait a little bit because 43 is a very key number. Let's hope that somebody else might come in and bet this game under the total by a hair and we can get a 43 on it. Here's a stat for you, Scott. Season-long starting rookie quarterbacks off of a bye are 36 and 19 to the over since 2002. That's a 65% rate to the over, spanning over two decades of quarterbacks that are rookies coming off of a bye. They play better in that next game off of a bye. The offense is juiced up a little bit. They've met more with their offensive coordinator. They've removed some things that they don't like. They're adding and enhancing the things that they do like, and they tend to go over the total. And in this particular game, you've got two quarterbacks going up against one another, both of which are rookies, both of which are coming off of byes in terms of CJ Stroud. Stroud and Bryce Young. There's also the added element that I alluded to earlier in that Bryce Young is working with a new offensive play caller out of the bye, and I think they're going to utilize more tempo and attack the defense in ways that the Houston Texans may not be anticipating. Also, Carolina is dealing with some injuries in the back half of the defense, and so they're not having success getting pressure to begin with. That back half of the defense is going to be tested even more. I think there's some opportunities here for Nico Collins to have a good game. I think Bryce Young has a better game than what he delivered in the first few weeks. Also, teams that are winless coming out of their bye tend to play really hard in their next game, and these games also tend to go over the total as well. So there's a lot of trend-based things. There's some is a little bit more obvious, some is a little bit less obvious. You got to do more research on, such as rookie quarterbacks coming off of the bye. All of it pulled together, though, leads me to think that there's going to be more points than are expected. I do not think the odds makers accounted for some of these factors when setting the total. They just looked at the two teams that are playing, looked at what they were doing before the bye, and set a total. I think we're going to see a little bit coming out of the bye that we didn't see going into the bye from both of these offenses.
Let's go back to Seattle. You got a prop on Kenneth Walker rolling in that Browns-Seahawks game.
Yeah, this is the prop that we took last week. I've taken it several games this year because Kenneth Walker, and I was taking it a lot last year before he got hurt too, his longest rushing attempt over. And right now you can get that on BetMGM over 16 and a half for -110. Look, Kenneth Walker's going up against a very good Cleveland Browns defense. Yes. And Cleveland Browns, they're very good against the run. However, they have not been great at preventing gains of 10 plus yards on the ground by opposing running backs. Let me go down the list here. Last week, Jonathan Taylor had a run of 24 yards. In fact, both Colts running backs had runs of over 20 yards. CMC the week before had a run of 27 yards. Week four, because they had a bye week five, Melvin Gordon had a 22-yard run. Tennessee was the only team all season long that did not have a run of at least 21 yards against the Cleveland Browns run defense, because week one, Joe Mixon did it, and week two, Najee Harris did it. And both those guys are not efficient this year running the football. Both of those guys are pretty terrible. So both guys still had 21 plus yard attempts. I think Kenneth Walker, I talked about the fact that Geno Smith is not going to have a lot of success throwing the ball against this man coverage. They probably are not going to be sitting back there chucking the ball a ton with PJ Walker on the other side. There's probably going to be a fair number of rushing attempts. And when running backs have more than 15 rushing attempts in games, they tend to have a higher rate of one of those attempts getting a big bust out carry for 16 and a half, 17 plus yards. And that's what I think is going to happen here with Kenneth Walker. Whether it comes early or late, there's going to be an overplay by Jim Schwartz and the defense of the Cleveland Browns. They're going to find it. They're going to gash him at one point in time, and we're going to see a run of at least 17 yards.
I want to get your opinion on the Browns quarterback problem with Watson. So he's not going to go again. He got lit up a little bit last week, went down, came out, protocol, never went back in. And then you've had Walker basically beating the Niners and playing pretty decently. What do you think's wrong with Deshaun Watson, besides the fact that they gave him $260 million and he's looked like he's worth about $10?
Look, I didn't go to school for a degree in psychology. I got my degree in engineering. So there's a lot of things that are wrong that I am not expert enough to speak on as to what's going on with Deshaun Watson. But on the field, from my eye test, watching the tape and looking at the data after the games, everything is wrong with Deshaun Watson. He's taking far too much pressure. He's not decisive enough with a lot of his throws. He is errant. His accuracy is off. He still does not feel comfortable. And one of the things I thought last season is all of these problems existed at that point in time, but we could give him a pass because, you know, he maybe didn't take seriously enough his training. Maybe he didn't take seriously enough his practice and his preparation for the games. Maybe he felt too overconfident when he was in film study those first, 10 games and 10 weeks that he was suspended, and he thought, oh yeah, I can do that. I'm great. When I come back, we'll be able to do this. And he just felt too confident. And when he came back and saw the speed of the NFL once again, it threw him for a loop. I mean, I'm not excusing that he should have slacked off, but if he was doing that, there were some excuses a little bit for what was going on last season. All of that should have been erased, though, Scott, entering this year. He should have understood what he needed to do this offseason to get back into the right shape to be able to lead this team to where they wanted to go after giving him that type of a contract. And yet we have seen Deshaun Watson be the one who's failing the team. Why is he the one? Well, because when you stick in P.J. Walker, who is not even a good quarterback whatsoever, the team is actually functional to some degree. They were able to come back and win a game. Now, I know their defense had to carry a load against the Indianapolis Colts, but because P.J. Walker wasn't throwing these ridiculous interceptions to start the game, you know, they were able to have a little bit more success down the stretch. And so I think there's a lot going on there with Deshaun Watson, but overall, it's just very disappointing. I'm not even a Cleveland Browns fan, nor a Deshaun Watson fan, but I just feel bad for that organization to a degree for committing so much money to this guy. It's been an utter train wreck, and a lot of people are going to get fired as a result of it, in my opinion.
I love that. When we come back, we'll hit the rest of the Pain Day games on Sunday with Warren Sharp.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
My man Warren Sharp styling at the MGM National Harbor with my boy Sammy Cheers, Malone, Yarnell. They've got it all going there and a bevy of fans to boot. We got a lot of games to hit. Let's start with the Rams visiting Jerry's World against the Cowboys, Warren.
Yeah, this is another game where you can look at a quarterback, look at his history against a certain type of coverage, and it should speak to you. In this particular game, you've got Dak Prescott, who has thrived in his career against man coverage, who is once again this season performing extremely well against man coverage, going up against one of the most zone-heavy defenses in the NFL. And so far on the season against zone coverage, Dak Prescott is averaging only 6.7 yards per attempt against man, 8.4. Against zone, 41% success against man, 58%. Success. I think Dak isn't going to look as great in this game against the Rams, even though the Rams defense is not an elite unit. The Rams run defense isn't great either, and they've had their problems over the past several weeks as well. However, this Tony Pollard-led Dallas Cowboys rushing attack does not have teeth right now. And they also still have not, in my opinion, solved their red zone issues, apart from letting Dak Prescott run the ball one time and score a touchdown, which I was begging for them to do. They finally did it. I don't see a lot of points here coming from the Dallas Cowboys. I think this game could be pretty close and down to a one-score game.
You talked about Atlanta, and you had them on tickets against the Bucs last week at Raymond James. Now they're in Tennessee, and it looks like Levis and your boy Malik is going to be throwing the ball. They're going to use both of them. That spells trouble to me. What do you think?
You said throwing the ball. I think they're going to be getting sacked just as much as they're throwing the ball. So if you like sacks, if you want to watch a game that has a lot of sacks, tune into this game. Let's look for when they post some of the total sack props. Let's go over those because we're going to see these guys go down left and right. Will Levis, out of 72 qualifying quarterbacks this preseason, no quarterback had a higher sack rate than Will Levis. It was a problem that he had during his college years as well. He was sacked at a 22% rate. His sack to pressure ratio, for every two pressures, he was sacked one time. That's 50%. Terrible, terrible sack to pressure rate as well. And they're going to be under a lot of pressure against this Falcons defense, in my opinion. And then when it's Malik Willis also takes sacks left and right far too often. So I think we're going to see this Tennessee Titans offense struggle a little bit here. We know that teams do not score points nor have sustained drives when they are taking sacks. I just think that the Falcons, even though they haven't had a lot of sacks on the season, are going to have a lot of success, not even needing to blitz, but still being able to get pressure and taking some of these quarterbacks down.
The Saints are at Lucas Oil against the Colts, who had quite a game against the Browns last week. Crazy ending. I thought the refs screwed them.
Yeah, the refs did screw them. The refs have screwed a lot of teams this year. It's been a catastrophe. The league has to get it under wraps. It would help if more teams are scoring more points, but that particular game, there was a lot of points scored, and the refs still stole the show. Look, the Colts defense has played a rookie quarterback making a second start in C.J. Stroud. They played P.J. Walker, the worst quarterback in the NFL right now, and a quarterback in Lamar Jackson who was playing that game in a tropical storm. Okay, those are three quarterbacks who you would not expect to have a lot of success. In their other four games, they allowed Trevor Lawrence's Jaguars to put up 37 and 31 points. They allowed Matthew Stafford's Rams to put up 29 points. And their only good game defensively against a veteran quarterback was against Ryan Tannehill, who still threw for more yards than he has in any other game on the season. I think as much as I dislike Derek Carr, especially inside of the red zone, and it's not just a belief of mine, the data bears it out over years. I was just pointing it out in the offseason on X with a thread that detailed every single one of his terrible red zone pass attempts. He is horrific inside of the red zone, but he's going to be able to move the ball between the 20s easily enough against this Colts defense that just has not been tested enough against even average quarterbacks. I think there's going to be some points on both sides of the ball in this one. I really love the creativity that Shane Steichen is bringing to this Indianapolis Colts offense. Can't wait to see what he tries to do against a very good defense in Dennis Allen's Saints.
So the Pats had their big win against the Bills. How do you think they're going to do in Miami against the Finns?
Well, I was looking at some of the injury reports because this is another game. There's a lot of games this week that you're going to have to pay close attention to the injury reports. As we record this show live on Sports Grid, this is during a time when a lot of these injuries are getting announced. You're going to want to tune in to the injury reports that come out after the show, as well as Friday's injury reports. But it looked like Tyreek Hill was able to practice today, as was Raheem Mostert. I think both got technically limited involvement. But this is a game that the New England Patriots absolutely, positively, no shadow of the doubt, must utilize a higher rate of play action. The Miami Dolphins are the third worst defense against play action. When they used play action in the first game of the season, when they played the Miami Dolphins, Mac Jones had night and day difference in terms of his efficiency and his in terms of his success. They're going to get a lot more out of this passing attack without. When they do utilize play action, they've also phased out a little bit Juju Smith-Schuster and Devontae Parker, and they're making some better decisions with what they're doing offensively. I can't promise that's going to transition into this game against the Miami Dolphins because they typically don't play very well down in Miami. But one thing's for certain, they are going to be stealing some of the things that they used successfully on the defensive side of the ball in their first meeting against the Dolphins, as well as what some of the other defenses have done against this Miami Dolphins offense to try to slow down and limit Tyreek Hill's production, which Bill Belichick has done consistently. Anytime he goes up against Tyreek Hill, they really limit Tyreek Hill's production, make somebody else beat them. I think it's going to be a fun game, potentially a closer game. I'm looking to see how high this line gets to decide whether or not I might want to get some involvement on another ugly underdog in the New England Patriots, hopefully catching double-digit points. But that's to be determined, barring injury information.
So the battle for New York, Snoopy, Jets, Giants.
This one's going to be ugly. I mean, Tyrod Taylor has been an improvement over Daniel Jones simply because he's not making mistakes. But do you trust Zach Wilson laying points in the NFL? I mean, the Giants defense has been playing a little bit better themselves lately. But both of these teams are encountering third downs far, far, far too frequently. I think that both of these teams are going to be, this is going to be in for a low scoring game. One prop that I'm going to be looking at is Breece Hall and his longest rushing attempt here. The New York Giants have poor consistency stopping the run, and like I was talking about the Buffalo Bills, they tend to allow some breakout rushing from opposing running backs. Breece Hall is one of the best in the NFL. I absolutely love betting Breece Hall's longest rush over against most teams, especially going to like it on Sunday against the New York Giants.
Is the Jacksonville-Pittsburgh game the game of the day?
Well, I know your son. What I'm sure he had fun against watching that game last week out in LA, watching the Steelers take over the stadium and win that game. This game, I don't know if it's going to be the best game, but because I also don't think that both of these teams are quite as good as their records indicate. But it is going to be a competitive game. Certainly the line suggests as much, and I absolutely believe that this game is going to be hotly contested. The Pittsburgh Steelers are going to have to come out with something here offensively to attack the weaknesses, and they're not going to have as much success. I mean, if Matt Canada thinks he's going to come out here and run the ball, this Jacksonville Jaguars run defense is surprisingly stout against the run. They're very under the radar run defense because for years this defense hasn't been very good. They're much better against the run. Let's see if they get their number one cover corner back from the injury report yet. I don't know if that's going to happen, but Steelers are going to have to throw the ball down the field. Kenny Pickett's going to have to be on one. And then conversely, Mike Tomlin's got to get these guys fired up again to play a good defensive game, because this Trevor Lawrence Jacksonville Jaguars offense is humming right now. They're playing very efficient football. They are poised also to attack some of the weaknesses of the Pittsburgh Steelers secondary. So they're going to have to get pressure from TJ Watt and company very quickly against Trevor Lawrence.
I'll tell you what, I think Johnson, having Deontay Johnson with Pickens makes them a lot faster. If they had Freiermuth, I think they'd be a lot better than they were last week, and they had it going on with the speed of those two on the outside. What do you think of Philly and Washington in D.C. at the dump?
Well, before we get to the dump game, let's talk about Deontay Johnson. I believe he missed practice today with a hamstring injury. So double-check the injury report. I think he missed after practicing yesterday. That's not good because he was out for a while. And in addition, as you know, they're without Freiermuth. So this could be going a little bit sideways with the offense for the Pittsburgh Steelers in this one. The game of the dump, look, the Philadelphia Eagles should be able to have some success here against the Washington Commanders. They should be able to get some pressure on Sam Howell, who is terrible and taking way too many sacks. If you like sacks, Sam Howell is going to give some to you in this game against the Philadelphia Eagles. But the Philadelphia Eagles have struggled a little bit at times in some of these rematch games from an ATS perspective. I went back and looked at divisional rematch games that they play the second time against opponents. I believe they're 1-8 over the last 3 years. There's 9 games in total, 3 per season against the NFC East. They've only covered the spread in one of those games. And the Washington Commanders, I believe, are catching 7 points right now. We'll have to see if it's 6.5 or 7. I'm not sure what the current odds are. But, you know, look, it's going to be hard. You've got to plug your nose if you want to take the Commanders, because they're certainly not an attractive bet. But with Jalen Hurts probably not at 100%, probably not running the football, and with a big game on deck next week for the Eagles, don't be surprised if they are able to get a lead that they don't really try to take the air out of the ball in the second half of this one. And they're going to be fine winning this game by 3 points, 6 points, 7 points. You know, they want to win this game, but they're not going to be trying to extend whatsoever here. Look for some big plays over the top. A.J. Brown, this Washington Commanders defense is really susceptible to deeper passes on the perimeter.
Kansas City's at Denver.
Yeah, like, what is Patrick Mahomes? He's never lost to the Denver Broncos in his career. So for a lot of people teasing the Kansas City Chiefs down, I think he's like 13-14-0, something like that. Teasing the Kansas City Chiefs down certainly is an attractive option. There's a lot of good teaser legs. There's a couple that we're going to be talking about here, Sunday Night Football, Monday Night Football, a couple also good teaser legs that you can incorporate into the mix. But there's no doubt about it, we're going to see an effort here out of the Kansas City Chiefs to just try to get out of Dodge safely. I mean, they have not been good at covering these large spreads, but they do a great job of just simply getting the win and moving on. Denver, their defense is actually playing a lot better than they were to start the season. Remember when, like, the Chicago Bears were hanging crooked numbers on them? They were giving 30 left and right. They gave up 70 to the Miami Dolphins. They got a little bit healthier on the defensive side. Not enough people are talking about how the Denver Broncos defense has improved a little bit here. I don't know if it's going to be enough to make a massive difference when you're going up against the Kansas City Chiefs, but the Kansas City Chiefs, they lost one of their key defensive cogs there as well, linebacker, and I think this game could be a little bit tighter than expected, but I am a fan of teasing the Chiefs down.
You think Lamar will roll in the desert against Zona?
Yeah, this is a teaser leg, in my opinion. Baltimore teased them down. You do have to get underneath of the three. I know this line got bet a little bit higher. I don't think that Kyler Murray is playing, but again, I've been a little bit AWOL with my commute here, and I don't know if there's been any update in that, but I don't think Kyler Murray is playing this week. I think Lamar should have a ton of success here against this defense. They'll be able to attack him and gash him on the ground. Gus Bus could have a good day here, and this defense for the Baltimore Ravens is taking care of business. They should really suffocate and limit the upside of this Cardinals offense, particularly in the second half, just completely snuff them out.
We'll try to slip in Cincy, San Fran, Chicago, Chargers Sunday night, and the Monday Nighter in Detroit with Vegas. Coming up with Warren Sharp.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Well, Warren, it really boils down to, will Brock Purdy be able to go against the Bengals in Santa Clara?
100%. If you haven't bet this one yet and got ahead of the number earlier, you really do have to kind of wait to see how he does. He's in this concussion protocol. He's practiced a little bit today. They're running around on the field. Now you have to see how he responds, because if he goes, definitely this line's going way higher than it currently is right now, and the total will as well.
So the Bears, what a performance last week. Now Badgen goes on the road to take on the Chargers at SoHi Sunday night.
Yeah, Tyson Badgen, a pretty good performance in his first game out, but he did not.
I think we lost him at some point right there. That was highly unfortunate. We're talking about Badgen and the Bears taking on the Chargers on Sunday night at SoHi. What he did last week was unbelievable. They were rolling. They embarrassed the Raiders. They killed Las Vegas at Soldier Field, and the kid had the day of his life, basically, and made a name for himself. Let's see if he can go on the road and do it against a tough team in the Chargers with Herbert. Let's try back with Warren. Real quick, the Monday Nighter, Vegas against Detroit at Ford Field, if you would, please.
It's going to be a one-dimensional game for the Raiders. The Raiders are going to be having to throw the ball all day long because they're not going to have any success running. This is a very good defense against the run for the Detroit Lions. They're going to really limit Josh Jacobs and company and force, if it's Jimmy G or Aiden O'Connell or whoever's going to be the quarterback out there, to throw the ball down the field a lot. I don't think you're going to have a lot of success. I think the Detroit Lions make for another good teaser leg to pair around with a variety of others, including potentially the LA Chargers that we were talking about when I got cut off there for Sunday Night Football.
I thought Detroit looked awful in Baltimore. They have to bounce back after that game. Great stuff, Warren, today. Go to sharpfootballanalysis.com. Follow Warren at sharpfootball on X. We'll see you next week from the MGM National Harbor. Enjoy the game tonight and this weekend, Warren. Thank you, buddy.
John Daly here. You know what day it is?
Neither do I.
I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.